I'm Robin Young. It's Here and Now. We're focused on Sandy and the campaign trail, but there's also the ongoing fighting in Syria, government warplanes striking rebel-held territory on the main road between Aleppo and Damascus today. It's hard to imagine now, but Syria used to be a sanctuary from that kind of violence, a refuge for more than a million Iraqis during the Iraq War. With the civil war in Syria, some of those Iraqis are fleeing again, going home. The BBC's Caroline Hawley reports from Baghdad on what kind of Iraq they're returning to.
Saad Jabour, his wife and their four children returned from Syria 3 months ago with only the clothes they were wearing. They'd had to flee for their lives at the height of Iraq's civil war. Now they're back, living in a relative's house and traumatized by what they've been through. Under a noisy ceiling fan to keep them cool, 9-year-old Doa told me of the fighting she'd witnessed in Syria. And her father broke down in tears.
Iraqis have suffered so much. We thought that we could have a life in Syria. But then we found ourselves facing the same violence there. So now we're back. Everything I've gained in my life has disappeared, like sand through a sieve.
Outside a government office in Baghdad, Iraqis queue for grants to help them restart their lives. Thousands of families have returned here in recent weeks, many having lost everything they had for the second time. And the country they've returned to is still not safe. Assassinations or bomb attacks are happening virtually every day, and there are fears that Al-Qaeda in Iraq is regrouping. Hikmat Al-Tai serves sandwiches to a steady flow of customers at a downtown restaurant which his younger brother used to run. Hassan, who was 28, was on the pavement outside when he was caught in a bomb in July and became another of Iraq's statistics. Hikmat watched Hassan die in front of him.
I don't sleep at night anymore. I close my eyes, but it's useless. Our whole family has been destroyed by this, especially my mum. I'm so tired and disappointed in our government. This is an oil-rich country and they've done nothing for us.
And many people here, like Hikmat, are angry. A power-sharing agreement between Iraq's different communities has led to political paralysis in a country with enormous social needs.
I've come to Baghdad's paediatric hospital to meet a man with an enormous caseload. He's one of only three child psychiatrists in the whole country. The narrow corridor outside his office is absolutely crammed with people waiting patiently underneath fans in stifling heat, all with problems that only Dr. Haider Al-Maliki can help resolve.
This is a case of bedwetting after a large bomb in the city of Abu Ghraib. We have sleep disturbance. With bad dreams, of course. A typical case of PTSD.
Amidst all the tension in Baghdad, there is a special sanctuary, very popular with Iraqi families.
What you're hearing now is some very noisy parrots at Baghdad Zoo, and this is where Iraqis come to let their hair down at the weekend, and it's an extraordinary scene. Iraqis, some of them conservative women in black abayas, some of them in brightly coloured clothes and headscarves, a real mix of society, have come here to give their families a treat, let them forget their troubles outside. And I'm just going to try to talk to one of the families here. Are you hopeful for the future? Are you optimistic? He's told me people are tired, that he doesn't have much faith in the future.
At a cemetery on the edge of Baghdad, prayers are said for the dead. It's much safer in Iraq than it was, but barely a day goes by without some kind of violence. It rarely makes international news, but for every bereaved family, the effect is shattering.
That report from the BBC's Caroline Hawley in Iraq. We'll take a quick break. When we come back, we'll go to Montana, Here and Now.